Whether you're a student or not, education news was front and center in Wisconsin this year. It's Wednesday, December 27th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Glad to have you with us. Coming up on the show today, we're looking back on 2023's top K-12 college and university stories. WPR's education reporter, Corrine Hess, will join us. Stay with us.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin schools, colleges, and universities made headlines this year. Today, we're joined by WPR education reporter Corrine Hess to chat about the top Wisconsin education stories that emerged in 2023. Corrine, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the UW system. There's been a lot of action in the UW system this year, especially with the fight over funding with the UW system from the state legislature. Where do we stand after everything that's happened this past year?
So after a six-month budget standoff, the UW system struck a deal with Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. This happened during a tumultuous week. There were five meetings in 7 days. So in the end, the deal gave raises that were already approved in the state budget to 34,000 UW system employees, and some UW building projects that were also already approved will move forward. That includes a new engineering building at UW-Madison and also some renovations to buildings at UW-Whitewater, which is Robin Voss's alma mater. So in exchange for that, DEI and some other UW administrative positions will be frozen through 2026. UW-Madison is also going to have to end this Target of Opportunity program. That program was put into place to recruit diverse faculty. UW-Madison is also going to be required to admit the top 5% of academic performers graduating from Wisconsin high schools. All the other UW schools will have to admit the top 10%.
So this is interesting because when we talk specifically about funding, there has been a lot of pushback, at least throughout the year, with the state operating with this surplus and funding being withheld for these schools, especially while some of these schools are operating at a massive loss. Can you tell us where we kind of stand on which universities are facing some serious funding issues going into next year?
So they're all facing issues. There's been years of declining enrollment and other market conditions that have put most of the system's 2 and 4 year campuses in cost-cutting mode. So out of the 13 four-year schools, 10 have budget deficits. The ones that we've already seen cut are UW-Oshkosh, UW-Platteville, and UW-Parkside. Oshkosh has eliminated 200 staff members. Platteville has announced that they're eliminating 111 positions. And then just in November, we heard that Parkside will be eliminating 10% of their workforce. That's about 50 positions. I'm afraid that we're going to just keep seeing cuts like this.
We've talked a lot about the UW system funding, but you cover a lot here when the terms of education come up. So let's go a little bit down, maybe not all the way at college, but those K-12 schools here in Wisconsin. We've seen a lot of different stories throughout the year involving school boards and book bannings. Can you give us some examples of what's been happening in some of these school districts and why these bans are being pushed?
So at least 6 Wisconsin school districts have recently decided to pull books from their library shelves, or they've had significant challenges to the books offered to students. So 2 examples that come to mind are Menominee Falls. That district banned 33 titles. That decision even prompted one of the banned authors, Jody Pico. She's a best-selling author. She reached out to the district for an explanation. The district never got back to her. And then Elkhorn, which is in Walworth County, one parent was able to request 444 books be pulled from the shelves. And I talked to the superintendent there. He said that that took a significant amount of time. Since then, nearly all the books have been put back on the shelves. But that school board is going to talk in January about changing its policy.
You also had reported that it was one of the largest requests in the entire country when it comes to book banning. So is this just happening here, or is it all over the place in some sort of coordination?
It seems like a national effort. Some reporting has shown that these groups, Moms for Liberty, or there's another group called Gays Against Grooming, that are pushing this. Our state ACLU has filed some open records requests to try to find out who's behind it. I think people don't think that this one parent in Elkhorn is really acting alone, although, you know, it's going to just take some additional work to figure it out.
Speaking of some of the reporting that you've done this year, let's switch to no-bid contracts. Can you tell us a little bit about what exactly a no-bid contract is, your reporting, and what the state is now doing about those no-bid contracts?
Yeah, so we found out a couple of things. In Milwaukee Public Schools, they have no-bid contracts, but a lot of the districts do. We found out about one with a group called Milwaukee Education Partnership. They had this no-bid contract for about a decade. This group got over $1 million, and they realized that the group was failing to deliver on some promises, so they ended that contract. Wisconsin is one of only three states in the country that school districts can do any type of construction project of any size without going out for bid. But there's a bill right now moving through the legislature. This bill, though, they've tried it several times and it's gone nowhere. So some state legislators want to make it so contracts over $150,000, they need to go out for bid. And so we'll see if that bill moves forward.
And when we say go out for bid, that's just posting it, companies coming forward and saying, I would do it for this price. And then the district can share and contrast prices like you would do when you're shopping for literally anything else.
Right. And they're talking about it because districts are going out for referendum for these capital projects and asking taxpayers to pay more money. So I think the thought process is, well, if we're giving you money for these projects, maybe compare.
It's been a busy year. Anything you're keeping an eye on as we head to 2024 in the world of education?
You know, I think there's a lot. I believe these book bans will continue across the state. There's school board elections happening in the spring. I'm curious to see where the ideology goes. We've done a lot of reporting on absenteeism in Milwaukee Public Schools, but statewide and actually nationwide. So new numbers on that come out in March. And also, I am curious to see what will happen with the UW having to admit students based on their performance, because some of these schools already have waiting lists.
Corinne Hess, reporter with us here at WPR. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Another year-in-review topic in store for tomorrow. We'll be chatting with Rich Kramer about what happened this year on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Lots to cover there, so have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.